Stacy already gave you that greeting, but I'll give it again. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. For all of you who have mothers, it's a great day to celebrate, right? And giving thanks to your mom today. We're going to start out with a little video of thanks to mom. So I'm going to go ahead and play that video. There we go. I was muted. Sorry. Thanks to God for the blessing of motherhood, for all those mothers with here, for all those women who don't have children of their own and are mothers to other children. Give thanks to those who are mom to you, whether it's your biological mom or somebody who's come alongside you and made a meaningful difference in your life. Let's pray for God's blessing on mothers right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for moms. What a wonderful gift they are to us, Lord, especially when they pour out your love into the people around them. We thank you for the selfless love that mothers so often have, for their nurturing character, and for what an amazing difference it makes in the life of a child. May we always be filled with thanks for the mothers you've given us and for the opportunity the women we have, that all the women here have, to be mothers to other children, Lord, and feed into the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have to tell you that passage, train up a child in the way we should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it, really captured my attention as I was preparing for today, so much so that I have a message that I prepared for you today, that I have it all written out. I cannot give you that message today. God has placed something else on my heart and in my mind that I cannot let go of, that I need to speak to you about today. And it extends beyond just motherhood, but really begins with that thought that we need to train up children in the way they should go. And I think I'm going to start with just saying that this foundational statement, that I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our Savior. He came into this world to die for sin, to give people new life, eternal life with him. And I believe, as the Bible says, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father through him. And because I believe that, I believe that it would be best for every person in this world to have that same belief, to grab hold of the fact that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Now, we can't force people to do that, but it would be best for them to hold on to that belief. And because I believe that, the two most important things that I can do with my life are, number one, commit myself to doing everything I can possibly do to serve Jesus well, to live fully for him. And the second is to do everything I can in my power to help other people take those same two actions and hold those same two priorities in their lives. I believe that's why we exist as a church. That's why I'm a pastor, to help people gain that perspective on life, to be so committed to the Lord that they will do everything in their power to live for him and to help other people live for him. Now take that belief, those beliefs and those ideas, and put alongside some statistics about the world that we live in. These are some things I heard just yesterday on my drive. Some of it is. First of all, there have been all kinds of surveys done about religion in America. And about 2008 is what I read. 2008, about 80% of Americans self-identified as Christians. If you go up to ask somebody, hey, are you a Christian? 80% of Americans would say yes. Today, it's about 75%. I don't know how significant that is, but 75 to 80% of Americans say they are Christians. George Barna is a surveyor who has committed his life to really digging deep into the Christian culture in America. And he's asked some more probing questions. And here is what he has found out. 10 years ago, so around 2017, when he did his first survey, he discovered that about 42% of the American population is what he would call a born-again Christian. A born-again Christian is somebody who says, I'm going to heaven because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's a born-again Christian. 42% back in 2007. Today, it's 30% of Americans. The number of people who, and this isn't people who claim to be born-again Christians. These are people who answer a probing survey that he puts out and answers what they believe, and based on those beliefs, he identifies who actually is a born-again Christian. But the numbers go even further than that. Among those who are born-again Christians in America today, one-third of them live according to a biblical worldview, which means they believe in what the Bible says. They believe that they are born again, they're going to heaven, but they don't actually, that only those with a biblical worldview live it out. Two-thirds of those people don't live out their faith. They go to church, they know what the Bible says, they claim to believe those things, but it's not reflected in the actions that they take in their life. So one-third of 30% of Americans live with a biblical worldview. These numbers, to me, are devastating. It's not that we should be filled with fear about this. There's many people who have taken the route that said, oh no, if we don't do something, Christianity in America is going to die out. I don't believe that for a second. Because our Lord is the authority, and he is not going to just let his people die out. But what it means is that there's a choice for us to make about how we're going to live our lives today. These people in this room, how we're going to live. There's one way we could do this. We could just say, well, you know, that's just the way things are. I'm going to focus on living my best for God. I'm going to enjoy my life and have peace in my time and trust that God's just going to take care of things. And if we do that, he will find somebody else to do something about these statistics, about these falling numbers of Christians. And we will live out our lives watching as somebody else makes a difference for God. Or we can choose ourselves to say, we need to do something different. We need to do something to change this world, to reverse the direction of Christianity in this culture today. We must do something. And that's my feeling. That is my passion. I cannot sit by and watch this decline happen in our country without saying, I need to do something. And I'm calling on all of us to develop that same attitude. Something needs to change. Church cannot continue to be the same as it always has been. We can't look at all the churches that we've always known around this country and look at the statistics of what churches do and just copy that, because it's not working. The number of people who live a biblical worldview continues to decline in this country. We have to say, we're going to do something different. We are going to be different. No more church as usual. Now, what do we do? Well, there's another statistic that George Barna discovered in his survey. He looked at the number of people who read the Bible daily and said, how many of them live according to a biblical worldview? And the answer is 45%. Less than half of people who read the Bible every day of their lives live according to a biblical worldview. And what that says is it's not enough just to know the Bible. And this is one thing that I see our churches focusing on a lot. We focus a lot on knowledge. We focus a lot on digging into the Word, which is good, and understanding the Word, and knowing what God's will is, and knowing how he interacts with people. But that's where it ends. We become very knowledgeable people. We become great at arguing for Christianity. We become great at standing our ground and saying, this is what Christians ought to be. But we don't do such a great job of living it out and applying it to ourselves and teaching others to live according to it. So discipleship in the church has to be more than knowledge. It has to be applied. We have to find ways to take what we're learning and do something with it. And I felt this myself sometimes sitting in Bible studies. I have led countless different Bible study groups, and sometimes I feel like we just keep getting together and talking about the same things over and over. And think, what are we going to do with this? When are we going to get out there and do something different? We need to change. Not just knowledge, but action. And discipleship needs to be our top priority for the church. That needs to be what we're about if we're going to make a difference in this world. Another thing that George Barna has discovered over many years of doing this research is how worldviews are developed in a human being. How do we discover the things, how do we learn the things that we believe and then apply them the way we live? And the biggest thing that he has learned is that a worldview is developed between 18 months old and 13 years old. By the time a child is 13 years old, they already know what they believe. As they go through their teenage years, they refine that a little bit. They begin to articulate a little bit better, to understand it a little bit better, but their worldview pretty much stays the same. And once we get to 20 years old and beyond, he says we spend the rest of our lives being evangelists for our worldview. Now, that's not to say that God can't change an adult. We, as grown-ups, can change the way we live our lives and the worldview we have, but the easiest way to make a change for the future generation is to focus on 18 months to 13 years and ensure that that age group knows who Jesus is. And not only knows it, but lives it. When I did my theology training, I had a professor at Northwestern College, or what's now Northwestern University in St. Paul, who told me that he deals with countless undergraduates who come to Northwestern, who have lived their lives in the church, reading the Bible daily, day by day, able to quote what it says, and they don't live out their faith. They don't know what it means to be a Christian in the world. And they've gone from one Christian atmosphere to another. They don't know what the rest of the world is like. He said it would be better for them to go to a public university, be exposed to real life, have their faith challenged, learn what it means to stand for God, and then come have a theological education. But to really make a difference in the world, we have to raise up children in the way they should go. We have to make sure that we are instilling in our children the way. I was thinking, as I started to think about this, about having our kids come up to the front, just so you can see who we have. But they're, I don't want to interrupt what they're doing downstairs, but think about the kids that we have. No, I don't want to interrupt what they're doing. I appreciate that, though. But right. Just to see their faces. Think about the faces of the kids that we have in this room. Think of them waddling like a duck down the stairs. That is the future of Christianity in our nation. And what are we doing about helping them develop a biblical worldview? What are we doing to help them live for Christ? And I'm not just talking to the parents of those children today. I'm talking to all of us. The most important ministry in our church is children's ministry. Now, that doesn't negate the rest of ministry in the church. It is important that we spend time with all ages and all stages of life, helping people grow in their faith. But if we're not putting the children first, we are not doing anything for the next generation at all. Consider this as well. Where's my notes here? 10% of the general public 10% of the general public in America today is living a biblical worldview. No, I'm sorry, that's not the right number. Throw that out. 4% was the number. 4% of the number of people in America in general living according to a biblical worldview. And a large percentage of those people are parents of young children. And those parents know nothing about teaching their kids to live a biblical worldview because they don't have a biblical worldview. They need our help. And so our work needs to extend beyond just reaching our own children, but reaching those other families that are out there in our community with children. Helping them know Christ. Supporting them to teach their children, including their children in what we're doing. We need to have ministry focused on supporting and training parents of children. Parents are the primary influence in a child's life. No matter what we do as a church, parents are going to have a bigger impact on their own children. We need to help support parents to be parents who can train children in a biblical worldview if we're going to make a difference in this world. Which leads to the fact that we need to continue supporting one another. as I said, it's not just focusing on children only. We need to continue coming together as a church, building our fellowship, being an example to those kids of what biblical worldview looks like, getting out into the world and making a difference for God. We need to continue building up our understanding of God's word, living it out, letting God change us. And so this does affect all of us in our own personal walk with Christ. But I guess I'm trying to highlight the fact that there is an issue in our world today, and we have a unique opportunity to do something about it. If you've read the story of Esther, you've seen a similar situation. Esther was made queen of Babylon. She was a young Jewish girl. And then an edict came up that all the Jewish people would be destroyed. You have to read it to see all the details around this. But Esther's uncle came to her and said, and told her she needs to do something about it. She was the queen. She could go talk to the king and do something to make a difference. And he said, and if you don't, Esther, know that God will raise up somebody else to do it. And I know you can quote better her response. What she said something else, too. He said something else. Mordecai said, sorry, this is what happens when I speak off the cuff. No, Mordecai said to Esther, you need to do something. She hesitated. That's right. Don't think that you won't be destroyed in this. Don't think that you will be safe because you're queen. And know that God will raise up somebody else. Thank you. And I don't want to be those people. I don't want to be the people who end up just suffering the results of what happens in this world because we're just trying to live out our lives peacefully and then watching as God sends somebody else to do the work, the hard work. It is hard work. It is difficult. But it makes such a difference. Can we not focus as much on ourselves and our happiness and instead focus on what is needed for this world and the next generation? We need to invest into real discipleship training for our children, for our parents and families, and for everyone who comes to this church to make a difference in this world. If they took that survey in this church today, where would we fall? What does your life look like? Would you be considered somebody who lives a biblical worldview? Think about your beliefs. What do you really believe about God, about Jesus Christ? How does that affect you? We sing about it every Sunday. We sing about what an amazing gift it is. What a glorious thing that God has done for us. God, we want to pour out our lives to you. We want to give our will to you. Do we say those words and mean them? Do we live it out? How much are you giving of yourself to live fully for Christ? And how much of yourself are you giving for the sake of others to know Christ, to live according to his will? Let's be that church. Let's be different than the statistics. Let's live out this worldview. If I tried, I could probably go on just saying the same things. I feel like I'm just hammering the point home over and over. So I want to end there and pray for God's blessing and for his guidance, Lord. Guidance. We need to be different. We need to make a change in this world. We cannot continue to do church as usual in this culture and make a difference. Let us ask God. I don't have the answers for you right now. But together we have the combined knowledge and the combined skills to truly make a difference in this world, starting in this culture, or starting in this church and extending out into our community, and who knows where, all over the world. Let's give thanks to God for his presence with us. There is great hope in this because he is here with us. We're certainly not doing this on our own, but we have to agree with God's plans. So let's pray and give him thanks and ask him for his help. Heavenly Father, my heart breaks at the state of this world. When I hear statistics like this, Lord, it devastates me to see what's happening. Lord, we want to be part of the solution. We want to be part of your plans for this world. We want to turn those numbers around. Lord, I pray that you would build us all up in our faith in you. Teach us to live fully for you, to be living examples of your word. Help us to apply your word to every aspect of our lives. Continue to peel off the layers of sin and selfishness and pride, Lord, and make us into your people. I pray for our kids, that you would reach into their hearts, Lord. Teach them who you are and teach them to live for you. Help us to do everything in our power to help ensure that they know who you are, Lord. I pray that you would guide us to new families in this community who need to know that same knowledge, and help us to teach them as well. Build up this church, Lord, to be a shining beacon in this world for you. Help us to be different. Help us to do what it takes to serve you well and to reach people with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as Pastor Scott was reading in Esther, if you read on, it says, "Yet who knows? Maybe it was for a time like this that you were made queen. So maybe it's a time like this that we are God's people."